am just about getting tired of this redundancy in Hebrew. I'm with you, folks. It's like repeated over and over and over again. It's a better way. It's a better covenant. It's new. It's better. It's better. It's new. It's redundant. But thank God for it. Thank God for it. The Jews needed to hear that over and over again, and we need to hear it over and over again, because we are a people of privilege. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zenner. Welcome to Monday. I told you I was going to talk to you about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. We're not quite there yet. Hang on, because this is huge. In Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't let anybody take this verse out of context and use it as an anvil to drop on your head from, say, the fifth story of a tall building, the tall building of their own making, because people are going to use this verse to condemn you, to make you think that you ought to be in church like them, as if they own the franchise on spirituality because they're in church. Well, they don't. I'm getting way ahead of myself. In fact, people who are in church are at the lowest end of the spirituality spectrum because they can't smell the hypocrisy. They are befuddled. They're bemused. Is that the word I want? No, you're right, it's not. They're dumbfounded by the ritual and by the soulishness, by the music, and their brains have been idled. Their brains have been put in park. And they're just marking time until their death. You, however, are flying ahead in the Lord. My dad used to fly private aircraft, and I'll never forget. He told me that you're clipping along there in a single engine four seater. My dad flew a Beechcraft Bonanza. You're clipping along at say 180 miles an hour. It's faster than you can go on, Interstate 25. So. And he said, but you don't feel your speed. He said, you can't tell that you're going that fast. But he said, I came upon a cloud bank, and I was just flying just above. I was skimming this cloud bank. And because of the cloud bank, it gave my speed relativity. And I could feel my speed for the first time. And it's like I realized I was zooming. Now, my analogy here is, you people with me are flying in God. We are really moving at warp speed with this information that I'm giving you, that Clyde Pilkington's giving you, that A.E. Nock is giving you, and we're learning so many things. But you've been out of the church for so long that you don't realize how fast you're going and how much God is teaching you until you get next to those people. The analogy is my dad getting next to that cloud bank. The cloud bank is immovable. I want to say that the cloud bank is not moving, whereas he was, and that's how he felt his speed. Likewise, you get next to your friends, and they haven't moved in 25 years, 30 years, 40, 50. Clyde tells me that his father-in-law boasts in the fact that his message hasn't changed in 50 years, and he's actually boasting in that fact. I have not moved in 50 years. That's tragic, sir. I've never met you, but that's tragic. You haven't moved in 50 years. You haven't grown an inch in 50 years. You've been locked in to the system for 50 years. That's sad. Very sad. So you're flying. You're listening to this show. You're reading books. You're reading Concordant Literal New Testament. You're going to concordant.org. You're going to studyshelf.com, watching videos. You're flying. You're on your own. You're freelancing as spirituality was meant to be. And then, on occasion, God will put you in the company of somebody you used to hang with. Or you'll go to church just for the heck of it because somebody wants you to. And you're free to. That's the beautiful thing about freedom. You're free from church, but you're also free to go to church. So you go to church, you haven't been there in years, and these people are dead. They're doing the same thing they've been doing for years. And you realize at that point how far God has taken you. And God is doing you a favor to give you friends and relations who haven't moved in 50 years, or 20, or 70, whatever it is. He's doing you a favor because only by relativity, only by relating you to those who haven't grown, will you realize what he's doing with you And I'm telling you, what he's doing with you is amazing. It's amazing how far you've come, isn't it, in a few short years, or in the case of some of you, a few short months. In a few short months, you have come to know amazing truths, and you're starting to question it, like, how can I be this joyful? How can I know this much? Or something must be wrong with this. No. And I'll tell you why. Is because God has put you in the fast lane. I don't resent this a bit. All right, it may have taken me 20 years to learn some truths. I don't care. You might get them in 20 seconds or 5 minutes. So what it's taken me half a lifetime to understand, I can put forward to you in a simple way and you get it instantly. Hey, that's fine. I don't resent that. Great. Great. Because the time is the era, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the era is limited. In other words, the time is short. And God is doing a quick work in these days, I believe. And he's putting people in the fast lane. He's giving them the truth, and you're getting it. Don't doubt this. Don't doubt that you're getting it at rapid pace, at a spiritual pace. Remember, in another place, Paul says, sorry for the thumping there on the mic. Paul says, we're growing in the growth of God. Now, the growth of God is according to his timetable, not ours. Now, it works both ways. Sometimes we think we're not growing fast enough. I've had people who are 80 years old saying, Martin, I just got this truth. Sorry, wait a minute. Here. Martin, I just got this truth. Why didn't I learn this 50 years ago when I was a young person? Why did God take this long to introduce me to the truth? If I had known this when I was 30 years old, it would have been so much better. No, it wouldn't have. You learned it perfectly. Hey, you know what the great thing is? You learned it in Eon 3. You learn it before you die. You won the lottery. You're chosen for membership in the body of Christ. You got nothing to complain about. If you're 90 and you're just getting the truth today, thank God. Fall on your face and weep, because you are blessed among mortals. I am going to get to the scriptures here. In fact, I think I'm going to do it right now, because I want to hit an important point in Hebrews 10. And let's start with verse 11. Now, this is so repetitive, but repetition is needed here. And every chief priest indeed stands ministering day by day. You can hear, at least I can, when I hear the phrase day by day, I hear the exhaustion of somebody who's been tested to the limits with redundancy. Day by day. That's how I would read this in the synagogue. Here's how I would read this in the synagogue. I'm going to put on a little Jewish accent here. Not that I know how to do that, but I'll try. And every chief priest indeed stands ministering day by day. That's how I would say it, with a slight English accent. I would be a Jew with an English accent. Day by day. In other words, over and over again, offering the same sacrifices. Verse 11, day by day, the same sacrifices, which never can take sins from about us. I almost like that word about. I don't like it. I hate it. But I almost like it. The reason I hate it is because it's so obtuse. It beats around the bush. Sins from about us. What the writer means to say here is that the Jews were constantly surrounded by their sin. It followed them. It weighed on them like a wet blanket day after day. Day after day. It was about them. In other words, everything they thought, every action they did, every move they made was colored, was tainted by the specter of sin. They could not get away from it. And the sacrifices kept being offered over and over and over again. And like I remember from the Catholic Church, you felt good like for a couple hours after confession. I'll never forget going to confession one day. My friend Jim and I went to confession, and you always felt fresh. You went in there, you told the priest all the sins you could think of, and you said those prayers, and you felt clean. It was like chewing a piece of spearmint gum. It's like winter fresh. And you went out on the playground after confession, and you just felt like you were liberated. Well, that little hit, it's like a hit of drugs or something, or like a toke of marijuana. Not that I know this. I told you the other day that I smoked cigar, but I never smoked marijuana. But I imagine, I don't condemn anybody that smokes marijuana. It's a natural substance. Why not just legalize it? That's what I say. You know how stupid it was when they prohibited, when they made alcohol illegal back during the Prohibition? It just made an underground industry. Same with prostitution. If you make this legitimate stuff illegal, then you create a criminal circle. You create an underground network, and people have to do devious, diabolical things to get what is natural, and so you create crime syndicates and everything, and it's a disaster. So I say, legalize it, legalize marijuana, legalize prostitution, and it'll go crazy for a while, but then it'll settle down. The pendulum will return to median, and things will be better than they were before the Prohibition. So anyway, back to the confessional. So we confessed our sins. We felt good for an hour, but then that high of imagining that your sins were all gone was short-lived, and before long you start to feel guilty again. This is what the Hebrews experienced. So they had to take their sins to the priest, bring their turtle dove, their lamb, their goat, and offer it, and then the corporate sins of the nations on the Day of Atonement, and you felt good for a while. Now, this is my challenge to you. Those are the old days. So my question to you is, why are you still feeling that way? I'm assuming some of you are. You're still feeling good on the days you so-called behave yourselves, and on the days you crack, on the days you screw up, on the days you're sinning, you feel terrible. You need to tap into, I'm challenging you, tap into the even experience. Here's the even experience: to realize that Jesus Christ came once for all time. He made a mockery of the repetitive sacrifices offered by the Aaronic priesthood, and he offered once for all time, took away your sin. Now, not only are you forgiven, you know, like on an even keel, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven every day, but you're justified. Justification blows forgiveness out of the water. No H2O around this thing at all. So you're totally not guilty. And still, on your bad days, you're feeling guilty. You're acting as though you're still waiting for the high priest. You're acting as though it's going to take a good day to cancel out your bad day. You're on a roller coaster ride still. Still. Do you realize what a slap in the face that is to Jesus Christ? I'm sorry, but it is. And I'd like to see you get off that gerbil wheel, that circuit, that roller coaster of failure, success, failure, success, failure, success. It's all success. And it's not based upon your work. It's based upon Christ's work on the cross on your behalf. Listen, the only one who can condemn you is the one who has justified you. You're golden. The only one who can condemn you is your justifier. So there's no possibility of condemnation anymore. That is the gospel. And you are to sit or lay down in a reclining mode. You know what Abraham Lincoln said? Love this guy. He said, I never sit down. No, this is what he said. Let me start again. Abraham Lincoln said, I never stand up when I can sit down. And I never sit down when I can lay down. Likewise, I want you to sit down and lay down and admire the singular work at Calvary for your sakes. Jesus Christ was not your substitute. Otherwise, you could have stepped in and done it. You don't need a substitute, you need a Savior. If he was your substitute, then every single human being could have lined up and been crucified for their own sin. Impossible. Because you're not an unblemished sacrifice. You know how they had to find an animal that didn't have blemish? All right, Jesus Christ was the antitype. He was the one who fulfilled that. He was without sin. He did something monumental. And the only thing you can do is sit in the bleachers, slack-jawed, and gape in awe at his accomplishment. And if you're not there yet, I pray that you get there today. Because the gospel does not concern you, it concerns Him. And as soon as you realize that, you're on your way to being still and knowing that He is God.